Bible to a familiar verse, Romans chapter 5, verse 8. It's going to be a springboard to kind of talk about something that I have to deal with each day, and I'm sure that you guys should deal with, you guys are probably dealing with as well, and just give us a little biblical truth to stand on in those times when these things come and confront us. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 outlines a great battle happening in heaven, and outlines the angels of the devil and the devil fighting against God and his angels, or against his angels, and you find that they are cast out from heaven. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, it says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night." I thought about that, and I continue to consider that with all the things that the devil is trying to throw at me over this year. It's been kind of a rough time. Verse 10 calls the devil the accuser of our brethren and says he accused them before our God day and night. Let me remind you, Christians, young and seasoned, that Satan is very serious about his work. He's serious about the work of destroying the work of God and everything that he can do to try to do that. He's serious about destroying the workmanship of God, which is you and I. The second that you fail, he is right there telling the Father exactly what he saw. And it's not even like the Father doesn't already know it. He absolutely knows. He wants to put right in front of God that his child has sinned. He's worse than a little brother or sister that wants to constantly run into mom and dad to try to get you in trouble. He's very serious about that, trying to make you look bad in front of God. Day and night, he accuses us before God of our faults. He desires to make you despair. It's not enough just to accuse you, but he also wants to remind you over and over again of the failures that you've had. He wants you broken. He wants you broken. He wants you paralyzed. And he wants you to forget about the hope that you have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to stand still and never to move forward for Christ. He wants you to forget the love that God has for you. When I get reminded of those things and failures in my life, the first thought that comes to my mind is, how can God love me? How can he still use me? I failed, fallen. Can God love me, though the accuser accuses me? That's the title of this message. And our springboard verse to kind of consider that this evening is Romans chapter 5, verse 8, a common verse, but very apt in this instance, and I'll explain why in just a few seconds. It says, "But God commendeth," or showed, "his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." At your absolute worst point, completely separated from God, not desiring him, not wanting him, not looking for him, with just no desire to do what is good and right, God showed his love to you. His love is eternal. His love is transcendent. And his love is not based on you, but is based on him desiring you. My proposition to you this evening is this question: can God love me though the accuser accuses me? And the answer is yes. I refuse to leave that question out for someone to zone out and forget that the answer is yes. The answer is yes. He can still love you, though the accuser accuses you. Let's pray. Father, you are so good, and we just thank you for an opportunity to be able to open your word, and we thank you for the word that's been placed before us so plenteous in our nation and in this world, and giving us an opportunity to know you and to truly know you deeply. Father, work in us this evening, Father, that we might receive something from your word this evening, that it might help us in our lives, and as we move forward into 2024, that we might choose to do something different that would be glorifying to you, separating ourselves from sin, separating ourselves from the things of this world, and separating ourselves unto you. Father, we need you in Jesus' name. Amen. I can't get past the first few words. It says, "But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." I guess it's not just the first few words, but the whole word. God sent his son. And he sent his son in full fulfillment of the prophecies that were foretold. Galatians chapter 4, verse 3 through 7. I'll read it. You guys don't have to turn there. But it says, "Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath set forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. When the time was absolutely perfect, when everything had come together exactly as God willed, he sent Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, born of a woman, Genesis chapter 3, verse 17, talking about him who would bruise the head of the serpent. Born in Bethlehem, Micah chapter 5, verse 2, born of the line of David, 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 16. All of these are a small number of the fulfillment of prophecy that the Lord Jesus Christ was. This is the Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. He sent his Son in proof of his love. We look at the prophecy to know that the Jesus that we're looking at is absolutely the right man. Now let's look at what he brought. He brought an understanding of his love. John chapter 3, verse 16, verse that we know very well, and it's great. Every single time you hear it, let me encourage you, as I always do, don't lose your awe and wonder. Don't lose the power in these verses that you hear over and over again, because they are powerful, they are good, and they are right to be held on to, stood on. John 3, 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Through him. God came, but he did not come to exact the judgment that you and I so richly deserve. But on the contrary, he came to build the bridge between God and man. He came to shed his precious blood on the cross to present that to our great God and sprinkle it on the mercy seat of heaven, whereby we are saved forever. The Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, and died, and gave of himself, rose again to prove that he's God, prove that we could put our full faith and trust in him, fulfilling all parts of the law to give us a way of escape from condemnation. He gave us the way to escape from the condemnations we so richly deserve. He gave us a way to the Father. He gave us a way into the throne room of heaven. He gave us a way to be empowered by him to do a great and a mighty work in this world. He said, you saw the things that I've done, and greater works than these shall you do. The law establishes clearly that we needed a Savior. And God sent his Son at your worst estate, at the lowest point in your life, to bring you to the highest point. God sent his Son in fulfillment of prophecy. He sent his Son as proof of his love, and he also sent his Son in full knowledge of your failures. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6. Common verse. We've heard it before, but it's common because it's good. Common because it's good. Isaiah 53, verse 6. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Of us all. Of everyone. Those who are there, those who were to come, those who had passed. God knows who you are. He knew you before you knew him. He knew the failures that you would commit in your life, presumptuous or unwillingly. He knew the pain that the Lord Jesus Christ would have to endure for your salvation. And in knowing all of this, Jesus still came and still died and still rose from the grave that you could be victorious in this life. The devil doesn't want you to remember any of those things. He doesn't want you to be reminded of those truths which are foundational to our life. Hold on to those truths. Stand on those truths. God sent his Son in the spirit of adoption. Where we started in Galatians chapter 4, verse 5 and 7, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." I went to a church on Christmas Eve, and the man stood up and he said, "The Lord Jesus Christ came, lived, and died, that you might have the adoption of sons, that you might be joined and fast to God." The thing that's really interesting about adoption is that an adopted child will have more legal rights than your paternal or maternal child. Can't think of what the right word is, so that's what I'm going with. Think biologically. That sounds good, biological child. That works. All those words work. They have to do those things legally because the person coming into your family has to be attached to your family in the same way that would be normal for your biological children. The Lord, Jesus Christ, came that you might be fast to God in such a way. We have a good time in choir. You know, if my parents looked over and said, "This guy is too ridiculous, I'm going to disown him for all of his cutting up, if you will." But I mean, I've never cut up in my life. Matter of fact, I'm very, very upstanding. But if I had cut up and decided to, they couldn't because I'm still their son. That doesn't change. That adoption and those legal proceedings are all there. That sonship and that child-father relationship doesn't change. God locked you to him for all eternity, that you might be a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his Son. Can he love you even though the accuser comes and accuses you? Has anybody ever come to you and told you something bad you did, your child had done? Something really, really bad that your child had done? Have you disowned the child? Maybe, but you brought him back. You should know better. God didn't just save you, but he established you in a way that you are never to be separated from him. I don't care how many times the accuser comes to you, you can never be separated from him. God sent his Son, so yes, God can still love you through the accuser. And also, God's Son is our advocate. 1 John chapter 1, 1 John chapter 2, let's go to 1 John chapter 2. I endeavor to only be up here about 5 more minutes, so, you know, maybe that's an hour or so, we'll see. That joke is still good. Something wrong with y'all. The funny ear is broken. 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Need to pray for your humor muscle. Okay, 1 John chapter 2. It says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Not just Jesus Christ, but Jesus Christ, the righteous. Praise the Lord. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." He will never leave the Father's side. Now, let me preface that with, maybe not never, when it is time for him to come back and get us, he will leave the Father's side. But he will stay there day and night as the accuser stands and attempts to repeatedly and over again cast you away from God, tell God all the bad things that you have done, calling you everything but a Christian. Have you failed God? Have you given the devil a reason to accuse you? Well, just like me, you have an advocate with the Father. You are not without an event. You are not without a defense. You are not without a defense. But you have the best and only defense ever needed. You have the righteous, perfect God that stays at the right hand of the Father when the devil comes and rails accusations. Man, we're going to get these words out. You have the righteous, perfect God that stays at the right hand of the Father, and when the devil comes with railing accusation against you, Jesus Christ, our Savior, stands there, and he says something close to this: "This is my child. whom you have given me. I have paid the full debt of all his sins. I am his sacrificial lamb. I am his full propitiation. Oh God, thank you. Oh God, thank you. In your hearts, in your lips, there should be an amen or praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because by that you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let me tell you. Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is enough. The devil will tell you you've messed up too much. You've made too many faults. There's no way that God will forgive you. Jesus Christ is enough. Jesus Christ is enough. And if he wasn't enough, God would have done whatever was needed for it to be enough. But God has said, Jesus Christ is enough. That's good enough for me. It should be good enough for you too. Because Jesus Christ is. Don't let the devil, who's a liar and has always been, father of lies, hater of you, tell you anything less. Don't let him tell you anything different. You stand on the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is enough. John chapter 1, verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, check these words, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. All of the sin. He has taken all of it away. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2, as we just read, it says, and he is the propitiation, or the appeasing payment for the holy and righteous God for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Isaiah 53, 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is faithful and just and right to forgive us, and he is enough. He is enough. Now this is the place where most of us get frozen. This is the place where we start to waste our time instead of serving the Lord. How many times does the Lord have to say that about you on a daily basis? On an hourly basis? That causes us to freeze up more than anything because we know we've failed. We know we've sinned. Presumptuously, accidentally, we know we've messed up. And we allow the accuser to come to us and say, messed up too much. You know, you're done. You got to stop. Just go sit on the sideline. We'll get somebody else in there. If God wanted somebody else to do the work that he called you to do, he would have put somebody else in that spot. If God wanted somebody else to do the work that he called you to do, he would have put somebody else in that spot. Because he can, and he will. The standard of perfection is a good standard. And we should strive for the excellency to get as close to that standard as we possibly can, knowing that we are sinners. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 through 16, it says, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And glory to God for that. That is the standard, and that is a good standard. And it is a standard that has been in place for all eternity. It is a standard that will continue to be in place for all eternity because God is perfect, and he in no way let sin enter in. Are you letting that standard that you are not able to meet cause you to despair? Cause you to faint in good works? Cause you to give up on serving him? Cause you to walk away from even trying? I have three words, then I'll have two. But the first three words I have for you is don't give up. Don't give up. Don't stop. That's not my other two words, but that's really good. Don't stop. Don't allow the accuser, who has no desire for anything good to happen, tell you who and how and what you should do and how you should serve the Lord. You submit to the Lord. If you have messed up, you confess to the Lord. And what does it say? 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, the multiple, the plural, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is God's word telling you, bring it here and then we'll get it straight and go. Come here, bring it to me. You tell me that you were wrong, and I already know you're wrong. Agree with me. Stand up and go and sin no more. God is still here, and he loves you more than you can even fathom. The Lord Jesus Christ will continually be right there to advocate for you because you're his child. But don't let this other truth, which is important, escape you, is that the devil is not going to stop because you decide you want to stop. His hatred for God, his hatred for you, doesn't quit because you've decided you want to step away. You have an advocate. So get up and get back to the work that the Lord has called you to. And you have a work to do, my friends and joint heirs. Get up and allow the Lord to work through you. Set some 2014 set some 2024 spiritual goals. Set time for you to read your Bible daily. Be diligent about that. Ask God which spiritual goals you should set forth and be diligent in that. One of my goals this year is to journal through the whole Bible as I go through this year. So not just to read it, but to write something about each one of the chapters to help me wrap my mind around what I'm reading and to help me like keep track of where what is in the Bible. It's kind of helpful when you get questions. Be diligent and be intentional about your spiritual relationship with the Father. Be diligent and be intentional about your work for the Lord. God does nothing haphazardly. He does all of those things that he does intentionally, with purpose, with a desired end in mind. What is your desired end? You don't plan, you will fail. If you plan to fail, you will absolutely fail. If you fail to plan, you will plan. If you fail to plan, you are planning to fail. Plan to be successful. And you know what? He can and will make you successful if you want him to. Is that a desire in your heart? Do you desire for him to do something for you and through you in 2024? I encourage you to do that and make that choice even this evening. Can God love you though the accuser accuses you? Yes, because he sent his son for you. His son is your advocate, and also God saved you for his purpose. You have a job. God loves you so much that he saved you and gave you a way to restore your fellowship with him in our confession of our sins and our returning to him. He gave you something to do in his work. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 has turned into one of my favorite verses, and really that whole chapter, it's absolutely wonderful, just a wonderful chapter. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10, it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we walk in them. Your salvation was on purpose, and it was with a purpose. It was not an accident. It was not you found Jesus by stumbling around, but you found Jesus because God reached out to you, and he reached out to you that you might reach out to the next and to the next and to the next and teach others also. So do it as unto the Lord. I tell the kids at camp we are to sing as if we are in the throne of God, because we really are. We should pray diligently as if we are in front of the Father. We should work diligently as if we are in front of the Father, because we are. We are to worship in spirit and in truth. In spirit, through the Spirit of God working through us that he might perfect us. And in truth, founded completely and wholly and totally on the work, words, on the word of God, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our thoughts, all of our words, all of our intentions, completely wrapped up in what God has said. As it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, it says, casting down every imagination. Give me a second. Why don't I just turn there? I got this Bible here. I've been preaching about it. I should use it. Give me a second. It's in there. Give me a second. Casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's what it says. Stand in truth. Walk in truth. Stand in the Spirit of God. Walk in the Spirit of God. It'll be 2024 in just a few minutes, about five and a half hours or so. It's plenty of time for you to make a choice for the Lord. It's plenty of times for you to make a choice that you're serious about, and you can ask God to help you be serious about. The accuser will not stop accusing you. He will be diligent about fighting against you and doing everything he can to try to make you look bad in front of God. But God already knew you. There's nothing he can say that God doesn't know. Can God love you through the accuser's accusations? Yes, he can. Because he sent his son that you might be free from sin. He set his son as an advocate for you that you would always have the perfect defense. And he gave you a work to complete. I close with this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10, it says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Don't give up. Get up and let's serve the Lord in victory.